Welcome to Word on the Hills with your hosts Felicity Signal-Reed and Gwyn Sheltimer. Each week at this time, we visit with one of the region's many talented writers. You'll get to know a little about the writers and their writing lives. You'll learn what they write and why they write it. And you'll hear them read from their work. And today, we're delighted to have as our guest, Patricia Calder. May I call you Pat?
Yes.
Pat writes both short stories and novels, and although those genres interest her, she still sometimes writes non-fiction. Pat taught English and was head of the English department for many years before she retired. She wrote articles for magazines while still teaching, but now gives serious attention to writing fiction. So Pat, although you've published a number of short stories, recently you've been concentrating on a novel, which
yes.
I believe is called Roadblock.
Yes.
You characterize this as young adult fiction. And how does your novel fit into this category?
Well, first of all, young adult has changed from what it used to be. It now has a category for 18 to 30-year-olds, and some novels in this category are called crossover between young adult and adult. So I think my novel fits into that category. But in the new category, 18 to 30-year-olds, there's a lot of freedom to explore topics that used to be forbidden in young adult, like sex and assault and car accidents and death. So being as my novel has to do with some of these gross subjects, and my hero is 20 years old, and my secondary character is 12 years old, some people have told me that it might fit into young adult. But that being said, the new young adult fiction has fully realized characters of emotional complexity who are searching for their identity. And so the plot is about choices and values and challenges that young people face. And, of course, they're usually estranged from their parents. And sometimes hiding in a disguise or hiding from something. There's usually loss and love and the profound questions that youth wrestle with, and of course a happy ending.
Oh, well, that's so good to know.
Yes.
It sounds like a pretty pithy subject matter.
Well, you know, I think it's the same as what you have in adult fiction, really.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Just with a young protagonist.
Yes.
So what was the genesis for this novel?
Ah, well, my novel actually started with a prompt in a writer's group, and I can't remember the exact prompt, but I do remember the penny dropping when I realized that I was writing about the same thing over and over again, usually about death. And so I realized that I had to write it out of my system because it just seemed to be coming out in all these little pieces that I was writing. And the reason was that when I was 5 years old, my 3-year-old brother died very suddenly.
Oh.
He was well and running around in the afternoon. I was sick and was given an antibiotic, and he died that night. It was very shocking. And so you never get over something like that.
Absolutely.
It was in the newspapers. There were warnings for other parents. But after the initial shock, then I grew up in a house of silence. We didn't talk about it ever again. The next time we talked about it, I was 40 years old.
Wow.
So that had a profound influence on my development as a writer. And that's why my novel starts with the death of a 3-year-old child. I mean, who would want to read such a book? But there are many novels that start with some sort of shocking event like that.
Absolutely. I think it'd be a great book to read about to see how you cope with something like that.
That's it, exactly. And the 12-year-old brother is one of the main characters. And the main character, who is 20, is actually coping with the death of his brother. We don't know that until the end of the book, but that's what is driving him to become friends with this 12-year-old boy who has just lost his sister. So
you're definitely writing from experience, but it's not necessarily your story.
No, it's not the same death, but it's the story moves in a very positive direction because the characters do grow through their grief and they do cope with it.
That's good to hear. Is it set in Canada?
It is set in small town Ontario,
oh.
in a town on the side of Lake Ontario. But it's not Cobourg. It's very like Cobourg. It's close to the countryside. There's a horse barn and a farmer and horses.
Why did you choose this setting?
Because it's very familiar to me. I have lived in Cobourg for many years and in other small towns as well. And so it's familiar territory, and they say you should write what you know. So I have rolling hills and bicycle rides out into the country to ride horses, and the horse actually becomes a healing personality in the novel. And then there's the birth of a foal. So what could be better?
Absolutely. Well, would you like to read to us from Roadblock?
Absolutely. I'm going to start with the opening. A siren screamed outside the grocery store. Jean Gauthier felt perspiration seeping out of his forehead and pushed the hair away from his face. His heart raced as he hurried from the checkout with his rucksack. A swarm of people was gathering in the parking lot near where he had left his VW Beetle. Excuse me, he repeated with his narrow body wriggling through the onlookers. A small form lay on the pavement. Two paramedics jumped on the run from the still-moving ambulance. Sean saw a purple sweater and blood painting the tarmac scarlet. Oh, no, no, he moaned, his groceries slipping to the ground. After rolling the little girl onto her back, one paramedic began rapid CPR. No one in the crowd spoke. Sean listened to the quiet voices in uniform, but could decipher nothing. Under the wheels of a shady van lay a broken blue umbrella stroller. A young mother, kneeling on the parking lot, rocked back and forth, back and forth. A low sound seeped out of her, an animal sound. A sound so deep that every breath choked her. The female paramedic, her face wet, lifted the tiny form in its purple shroud onto a stretcher. The male paramedic continued CPR while two attendants rolled the bed away. Then the female extended a hand and lifted the mother from the pavement. The front of the mother's yellow sundress, soaked in crimson, clung to her slight frame as she struggled to rise and walk. One foot in front of the other, guided toward the back door of the ambulance. The May sun burned the sticky pavement. The shoppers turned away, shaking heads, gesturing with helpless arms. Sean sank to the parking lot. As he breathed in the sickly aroma, his head fell into his hands. He could not silence the echo in his brain of screeching tires. A hand touched his shoulder. You'd better move. An older voice said, someone will clean this up. Sean stood with weak knees, retrieved his groceries, and stumbled in the direction of his car. A white clapboard bungalow, a wartime house with no basement, hunkered down over the dirt. Pansies bloomed in an old tire by the front walk, and a pink tricycle stood abandoned in the driveway. All the Venetian blinds were closed. Cars arrived, disgorging people, bearing platters and covered bowls. The door opened, and someone clenching a tissue left while others squeezed in. Sean climbed out of his blue Volkswagen Beetle and paced the sidewalk. His stomach churned. He felt like throwing up. Images drove relentlessly through his brain. A dark night pierced by red ambulance lights circling, shattered glass embedded in the dashboard, blood on the gear shift. A woolen layer of shouting in the background. Back on the street in front of the white bungalow, a woman approached. She carried a box of laundry detergent and a heavy bag in her other hand. He gathered his wits and notebook and pencil in hand, approached her. Excuse me, I'm from the Herald. Could you tell me the name of the child, too? He couldn't say the words, but he didn't have to. The woman wanted to talk. Inside the white bungalow, 12-year-old Kurt glanced slumped into an armchair in the corner of the living room.
What were all these people doing in his house? Jenny was dead, and now all these people were crowding around like flies, with their buzzing and flitting from the front room to the kitchen and back again. He wished they would stop staring at him. A woman he didn't know said, "Jenny's with Jesus, Kurt, safe with Jesus." No, she wasn't. Jenny had been hit by a car, and he didn't know where she was. If these people would leave, he could ask his mother what happened before his father came and took him out of school this morning.
Oh, dear. Anyway, well, thank you for reading that for us. I think at this point we'll take a short break.